Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, number to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgann. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgann. And you can send messages to the show on Twitter at GoForGan. And while you're there on Twitter at GoForGan, give me a follow. I'll follow back. Great show lined up for you today. As many of you know, the Hall of Fame today, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, six members of this class, this 2012 class, will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. One of those members is the great Willie Rofe. And Willie Rofe has appeared on this show numerous times over the past 2 years, and Willie talked to us before the Hall of Fame, before it was announced that he was going to get into the Hall of Fame. He talked to us the day of that. He talked to us the week after that, and he also talked to us last week as we talked about how he's going to prepare for a speech and whether or not he will cry. But it was a great interviews with Willie Rofe, getting the insight of the man as he goes through this process, a long, arduous process. I mean, 2 years we went through this process with Willie Rofe, and he finally got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. It's a great day for him, great day definitely for his family as they celebrate him getting in. And, you know, nothing but respect for Willie Rofe, done the show numerous times. So it's been fun. It's been fun. So this show is dedicated to that and dedicated to Willie getting into the Hall of Fame. And we're going to start We talked to Willie actually right before, maybe hours before, about 3-4 hours before he was about to get inducted or his name was about to be called into the Hall of Fame. And in this conversation with Willie, he had some doubts, and I don't think he was necessarily too sure he would necessarily get in this time around. But let's bring it in now. This is Willie from February 4th, 2012. The day 3 hours before, actually, he was going to get inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Take a listen. It's going on as we speak. 44 voters voting now for the Hall of Fame, the 2012 class. Your thoughts as the big announcement is going to happen in about, what, another 3.5 hours?
Just gonna, you know, it's interesting, Paul, and I'm glad we're talking again, and it's fun, you know. You just gotta sit here and keep your fingers crossed about what happens, and been getting a lot of texts, and it's exciting, and you know, if you look at the resumes, if you want to look at straight resumes, then you can probably see who got what guys to make it, but it doesn't always work like that, and right. And you know I would love to go to Indy, but you know I was on the online last night and I saw some stuff where some people are saying that it'd be better for me to go in because the Super Bowl's in New Orleans next year. Well, I don't know if that's going to play a factor in the voting, but you know I think you go by the resumes. I don't think you go by where the Super Bowl is, whether you get in the Hall of Fame or not. But, you know, I mean, you never know. But my point being is you never know. And I'm not going to – I'm prepared to make it up to Indy if I do get in. And my dad will be leaving from Little Rock, you know, from Pine Bluff, Little Rock tomorrow morning. And he'll meet me up there if I do get in. And if I don't get in, then I just have to wait and see what happens. But – I like my chances this year, and I think last year was very tough with the class, with Deion and Marshall coming up on that list. We all knew what impact they had, and two of the top players to ever play at that position, and especially Deion being one of the best corner they say ever. So we'll see what happens, and I wish all the guys good luck, because all these guys have been outstanding football players and good people, and I think they've represented their teams and how they carry their everyday life, they represented very well. So I wish all the guys good luck.
And you look at it, I mean, your boy Jerome Bettis, you guys, and reading the article, you guys bought a house together, you guys' first year in the league, and then you got your boy Will Shields, you played alongside him. So you got some other guys here.
And I got coached by Dick Stanfield 2 years with Mike Dicker, the legendary Dick Stanfield, the legendary football player, and who's a great person, who in 97, I had a little tough year, and I didn't play, I had a bad game against Atlanta, and I was a little heavy, and I didn't play up to my standards, and I went to Duke. And in 98, I really played my butt off, and I stood beside him every game and did the national anthem, and I went out there and played my butt off for him, because I knew I had a legendary coach that was coaching me, and I wanted him to be proud of me as I stepped on that football field, and I went out there and played hard. And me and Jerome have a lot of history. We actually bought that house after we were in the league for a year or two. And like you said, Paul, we bought $100 million investment, and we went up to the altitude and worked out. And I think when they started I didn't move to California at the time, as the article said, but when they started doing all the OTAs and making you do all the practicing in your home city, it was no point in having that house anymore, because we were going to have to stay and do our workouts in New Orleans or in wherever he was playing. And, in fact, one of the last years we owned that house, I told Neil Smith to go to Denver when he was leaving Kansas City, and that's when Neil Smith went to Denver, and they won back-to-back rings the first year he left Kansas City. He lived in that house, too.
Wow. So let's look at it now. Let's go back to the Super Bowl now. We got to get your prediction. Patriots, Giants.
Oh, man. Ugh.
And there you have it. That was Willie Rofe from February 4th. And that was hours before he was to be voted into the Hall of Fame. And you saw at that point, Willie wasn't too sure whether or not he would get in. He wasn't all too confident at the time. But as we all found out later, no, Willie did get in, and today is the day that Willie, August 4th, today is the day that Willie will go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And this is it. We're going to play now an interview from Willie Rofe from February 11th. This is a week after Willie was inducted or voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he was excited, and it was a great week for him. And he actually went to the Super Bowl and everything. But take a listen. Great interview with Willie Rofe. And Willie definitely deserves the honor of getting into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He was a great player. The announcement.
Well, actually, I had gone to the gym and did some cardio to get, I was anxious and I was kind of nervous. So I decided to go to the gym about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and did some cardio, and I was leaving the gym. And my agent, Lamar Smith, called me and said he talked to a reporter in Indy, and he had good, good recollection that he thought I had gotten in, but he couldn't say it for sure, and he thought Jerome didn't get in. And he was in Vegas with Jerome at the time, Jerome Bettis. And I said, "Are you sure, Lamont?" And he said, "No, I can't say I'm sure, but it's a reliable source." So I got back home about 2:45, and that's when the show was on. And then they went down to the final seven, but then they said, "Well, all these guys might not be in." So I think it was about 3 o'clock when they finally said that the guys that had gotten in.
And when you heard the announcement, what was going through your mind? I mean, were you speechless? Were you? Did your heart drop? I mean, what happened?
I was just. I couldn't believe it, and I was just speechless, and I was actually packing because my flight kicked in. If I made the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame committee puts this together, not the NFL. So I was rushing because I had a 4:25 flight to get to Indy Sunday morning at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I was rushing, trying to get to the airport to catch my flight at the time. So I really didn't have a lot of time to really grasp it because I was in such a hurry trying to catch a flight.
And I mean, it was obviously, and I was watching the show, and I know they interviewed everybody, and they didn't interview you. What happened there?
Well, you know what? My phone was ringing so much, and I didn't already. I guess those guys were already set up to talk to them, and were situated, and I didn't really have time. And if they called my phone to even try to talk to me, I was rushing trying to get to the airport. So I don't think any of them were in a hurry. I know Chris Dolman lives in Atlanta. I think he drove over because he was driving back after we got done Tuesday. So, and I know Cortez had a private plane bring him from Orlando. So I just think the way my ticket was set up, I was having to get to the airport.
We're talking to the newest enshrinee into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Willie Rolfe. And you went to Indy. You're in Indy now. You're in the Hall of Fame, and you get to Indy. Talk about the atmosphere being in Indy and being a Hall of Famer. I mean, how was that for you?
It was great. Well, I got in at 1 o'clock on Sunday morning, Saturday night, like Sunday morning. By the time I got to the hotel room and laid around, I didn't get up till Sunday for the game. We had to be downstairs at 3 o'clock. So walking through the stadium and walking around with, and sitting around with the guys before the game, you have a lot of fans in the stadium that want to take pictures and just congratulating us. And after the game, man, I was so tired from the traveling that by the time I got back to the room, I was out. So I didn't really hang out after the game. And Monday, pretty after the Super Bowl, the next day, pretty much, everybody's it's cleared out on Monday. So I didn't really get a chance to enjoy, hanging out with a lot of people because I didn't. Sunday night after the football game, I was pretty tired.
And Willie, you're on the field now. They're announcing the Hall of Famers. Talk about that, being on the field for a Super Bowl. You never played in the Super Bowl yourself. You're on the field. They announce you as a Hall of Famer. How did all that feel? Take us into that. How did all that feel?
Well, we were in the first of all, we were escorted through the way Indy set up. We were staying at the Westin Hotel, and from the Westin, you walk through the convention center and stuff over to Lucas Field, and we took a little shuttle. So everything is set up real close to downtown. So we're walking through. We take a shuttle to the stadium, and when we're walking across the street toward the stadium, people are congratulating all of us. We're all walking together with our suits on, and people are recognizing that we're the Hall of Famers. And then we get over there and they take us to where a lot of the fans and people are sitting. They have like a section where they're having the NFL experience. So you're sitting there hanging out. And I took a picture with Pat Riley and Cal Ripken Jr. And then I saw Strahan. And I saw General Petrus when I went to visit troops in Iraq. He was over there. And Lenny Kravitz was performing. And from there, we went down to a little, like a green room, like a little room underneath, right by the field. And we stayed there till about 30 minutes before the coin toss. And then we went out on the field and, got to see the guys warm up. I said hello to Brian Waters. And we were standing on the sideline and, watching all the people in the stands. And I saw Jackie Slater and then he threw my old general manager. He was a cap guy in Kansas City. And you're seeing all the people, and you're starting to get the feeling of how big it is. And to me, for a football game, I realize that people on the sidelines, well, you got the teams, but it's so many people standing around down there that it's very crowded. And you know, I guess during the game, some of the people might leave, but, you know, for a football game, to me, it's just too many people standing around. It's a lot of people down there, man.
And I saw you obviously you shook some of the players' hands after the coin toss. Did you sense anything with those players? Did you sense, okay, oh, Eli's focused, or this guy's going to have a big game? Or did you sense any of that?
You know, watching them warm up, even in warm-ups, to me, New England just looked a little flat. I mean, it just, you know, New England did not look like they were excited. You know, to me, they looked flat in the warm-ups before the
right.
game. And
right.
I was closer to them. When we came out of the area we were in, we were standing on we were on New England sideline before the game and over there. And to me, watching Tom Brady's mannerisms, watching the Patriots, they did look a little flat to me.
And you watched the whole game from the sidelines?
No. We did the coin toss and we stood down there and watched the opening kickoff. And after opening the kickoff, we went up to a suite.
Okay. And I want to move to halftime now. You have the great Madonna performing, doing her thing. I enjoyed the halftime show. I thought Madonna laid it down during the halftime. How did you feel about the halftime show?
I thought she did an excellent job. I think she did a good job because she incorporated, you know, Nicki Minaj and CeeLo and M.I.A. I think the way she incorporated got the younger audience involved with the younger musicians and CeeLo, who's a hot musician right now on the show, that show he's on the plug or whatever. I think she did a good job with mixing it up like that. And then she brought the England audience in with M.I.A. and she's real big over there. So I think she did. I thought the show was real good.
Did you watch the whole show from the suite?
Yeah, I sat up in the suite and watched the show. And a lot of guys around the third quarter, most of the guys, they didn't finish the game. They started going back. I stayed. I mean, me and my father stayed, but most of the guys decided to go back, going back to the hotel around the third quarter.
And I want to ask, going back now to when you finally heard the announcement and everything, who was the first person you talked to after you heard that you were going to be enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
I talked to some friends of mine, they called my phone, my phone was ringing, and I talked to them, and they congratulated me, and, you know, I just had so many texts and so much going on, you know, from that time period that I just had to put the phone down and in my pocket and just get to the airport. So I just remember talking to some high school, college teammates, and they would congratulate me. And then, I did a reporter call, and I talked to them also during the time period.
We're talking to the newest enshrinee into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Willie Rupp. Go ahead, Jeremy.
I guess I'm always a cynic, and I know I'm sure when you got drafted into the NFL, everyone comes out of the woodwork, and probably each contract that gets restructured, everyone comes out of the woodwork. So who comes out of the woodwork here that you probably didn't hear from in a while that you said, man, you know, I didn't think I was going to hear from them?
Well,
I hope it wasn't a woman, Will.
Huh?
I said, I hope it wasn't a woman.
Well, yeah, I had a few emails from some women, some girls that I hadn't talked to, and they were saying, how you doing, congratulations, trying to catch up. Obviously, you had some texts and messages from some people, some friends that I hadn't heard from in a while. But, yeah, I had a few emails from some girls that I hadn't even talked to in a couple of years. So, you know, that was a little bit surprising, but it's not really surprising. But, yeah, I did have a few emails from some people that, you know, they don't even have my number. And I don't have the number anymore.
And Willie, I saw you on the field. You had a black suit jacket with Saints colors. You had a gold shirt. What was the thinking behind that? Was it the Saints colors? What was the thinking behind that outfit during Super Bowl?
After the game was over with, after the coin toss, I wanted to be comfortable. So I had a tan cashmere V-neck on with the black suit. And it was the theme was the black and the gold for the Saints colors. But I didn't want to have a tie on and all that for the rest of the game. So after I did the coin toss, I pretty much took the coat off and just had on the cashmere sweater with the slacks, so I was pretty comfortable.
Maybe you could have went with the tie and a shirt at that time, and then change afterwards. You want to do that?
What?
You go with the suit and tie, then afterwards you could have changed into something more comfortable.
Well, no, that's my style. I'm not really a suit and tie guy, so. So I decided, Paul, I had on the sports coat, Paul, and I had on a cashmere sweater. I wasn't dressed to go to church.
You are the NFL Hall of Famer now. Why are you letting this? Why? Just don't move on. Take a month off, Willie.
Looking at it now, I've heard you say in other interviews that you think that the Hall of Fame process should be changed a little bit. You got guys like Chris Carter, Tim Brown, Andre Reed on the outside looking in at this point. Ultimately, those guys will eventually get in. But you think the process should be changed up a little bit. Talk about that.
Well, it's just one of my opinions that if you have the same writers and it's the same people that are voting every year, obviously we're having some issues with the receivers are splitting up the vote. It's like the Republican primary, the caucus. They're splitting up the vote and it's messing it up. And I think one of the writers, my agent sent me something saying that one of the writers said that that's kind of what happened last year with me, partially not getting in last year. It was nothing against me not being valid, maybe getting in last year. It's just that some of the voting was being split up, and I think when you have those three receivers on the ballot, so and you have guys that are from the northeast region of the country, then you have Chris Carter from more of the Midwest, then you have Tim Brown that's from the West Coast, and played at Notre Dame, then you have different writers, and maybe those writers follow their receiver in their area more than the other, so they're not voting, so it's kind of a tough situation. And just like what I told you guys before, me retiring the year before Will, then you have Jonathan Ogden and Larry Allen coming on the ballot next year. So, does Will get in next year with those other two linemen on there? I don't think they're going to put three offensive linemen in. So I think this was the way it worked out with this class, I think the writers went in and wanted to put some offensive and defensive linemen in, and that's what happened. And obviously, Curtis Martin, they thought more highly to put him in over his career accolades than they did of Jerome Bettis.
Right, and I was surprised that Dolman got in over Charles Haley, but I'm not surprised because – and this is not a knock on Chris Dolman. Chris Dolman is a Hall of Famer and a legitimate Hall of Famer. But I thought Charles Haley, a guy who won 5 Super Bowl titles, 100 sacks, he was an integral part of those Super Bowls. And I'm not surprised that he didn't get in because of some of the things and some of the way he has treated the writers and reporters over the years. So from that standpoint, I'm not surprised. But I think at some point the guy deserves to be a Hall of Famer. And I think he will be a Hall of Famer at some point. But the guy, you look at it now, I was reading an article about him where he's bipolar. And he wasn't diagnosed as bipolar until after his career. So you look at that, and it is what it is. But I thought that Haley is a guy who's a legitimate Hall of Famer. And all those guys who didn't make it, for the most part, are legitimate Hall of Famers. But I thought Haley should have got in.
And Haley's been doing – I was with Haley at the draft, and, he's very – he's a different guy now. He's matured a lot. you know, he carries himself, you know, in a real good light. And I think he's trying to show up at the draft and doing different stuff so people have a better perception of him. You know, he was, you know, a little rough around the edges when he played, and he could rub you the wrong way. And you're right, you know, a lot of that stuff can carry over, and people don't forget. It's just like if you see different people and you're signing autographs for them, and they'll tell you a story about somebody that maybe was rude or didn't sign autographs and stuff. And I'm telling you, you know, people do not forget about those type of things when you get in a position where we are and moving forward. You know, the way you treat people and the perception they have is gonna go with you a long way in your life. And like I said, if you do stuff negatively towards some people, you know, that will carry with you.
And you played against Charles Haley. How tough was he to block?
Very, very tough. You know, very explosive. He had that first step, you know, and he could change directions. He was a real good athlete. He could change directions. He was trying to get the edge. He was more of an edge guy than trying to bull rush me. He wasn't trying to bull rush me. He was trying to run around me. But I played him on Monday Night Football in 94 when he was with the Cowboys. And that I played, you know, most times in the Pro Bowl, we were playing with each other. I don't remember playing him that much after that, other than the time we played him, you know, earlier in my career.
Well, I mean, if you don't mind, when you look at and you're saying the voting, though, well, in terms of changing it, but how not just realistic, to me, aren't you almost saying then that they will have to almost go back and look at eons and eons of other players who are in a similar situation? It's such a commercial. I will say the one thing about the NFL, and this is in the last, definitely the last decade, it's such a commercial league now that even to me, the Hall of Fame has become a big revenue generator for the NFL.
I agree with you, and I mean, you know, I think one of those receivers gets in next year, maybe two of them, but you know, like you said, do you change up the writers? What do you do? I mean, if you got the same guys voting, they're writers from the big markets of 44 guys from around the country that are coming together every year during this voting process. So, I mean, what do? Do you change up the writers? Do you mix it up? I mean. That's the only thing I can say is, excuse me, you're going to want to get some experienced writers in there if you do change up the writers, but do you want to get a whole new viewpoint, or do the writers have to really, you know, sit down and think about the guys and do more analysis? I mean, everybody's going to do the arguments for the guys, so... I wouldn't be surprised if two receivers got in next year.
I mean, I think to your point, I mean, I think also, I think a lot of it in terms of these reporters, I think a lot of it is gets catty and guys hold grudges. You know, and if you do switch it up, to your point, if you're switching it up, I think you can have less of that and guys are going to be able to get in because they deserve to get in. Not because, you know, the guys are not getting in because, you know, I have a beef with this particular guy or that particular guy. And to your point, if they do switch it up, different writers and whatnot, I think that would kind of limit some of that, limit some of the cattiness.
And a lot of people say that about Chris Carter, that he, you know, he rubbed people the wrong way when he played. So, you know, like you said, I mean, those are the two guys that we're saying that they could be in the Hall of Fame right now, or Charles Haley and Chris Carter, and both of those guys, you know, are supposedly been rude or whatever to reporters during the time they were playing. And, you know, I think ultimately that could factor in the fact that they haven't gotten voted in.
And it's not a slight. It's not a slight on Richard Dent, but I thought Charles Haley should have got in over Richard Dent last year. I mean, it's not a slight on Richard Dent, but I just think Charles Haley, 5 Super Bowl titles. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, and I think he deserves to get in. Ultimately, he will get in. It's just a matter of when he gets in, but he will get in. And looking at it now, Willie, I mean, you don't have to make your Hall of Fame acceptance speech until August, but at this point, do you have anybody in mind to present you, or have you figured that out at this point, who's going to present you?
Well, I've already said my father will present me. I mean, he drove to pretty much every home pro game I had, either in New Orleans or Kansas City, which was about an eight-hour drive, and he came up there with me. So and his birthday was yesterday. He turned 71.
Happy birthday, Mr.
Rolfe. Yeah, Mr. Rolfe, ex-Michigan State Spartan. So I think, you know, it would only be fitting for the way he supported me and, you know, came to every home game that he would present me into the Hall.
And you got to start at some point thinking about how you're going to – your speech. You got to craft a nice little speech. I mean, obviously, August is a few months away, but any ideas at this point? I mean, have you been toying with anything at this point?
Well, no, I mean, obviously you want to thank people, but they don't want the whole thing to be about the thank you part of it. The thing is, about this whole process, we met with the Hall of Fame people, and it's like planning a wedding. I have a big booklet downstairs, and I'm going to have – they want me to come up there around February the 15th. If I don't go, I'm going to get somebody that I'm going to hire to help me get this organized and planned, because I got to get a list of people I have to get all together, and I have an A, B, and C form to give people the A for your more immediate family, then the B list and the C list, and then they have to fill everything out and choose what events they want to go to and get their flight and travel arrangements. So for me to get the forms and do all this, I have to get all this stuff real organized and get it out, and then you can lay your tent out. Some guys, like Jerry, had leather couches in his tent, you know, had John Legend perform, or like Dion had Snoop Dogg and those guys perform when he got inducted at his party afterwards. So, you know, it can get very expensive. Or they said some guys made these big special invitations and put $50 in for each person for the invitation. It can get very, very elaborate. And some guys, you can spend, you know, not hardly any money, up to $700,000 on this event.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Take Paul's advice. Save some money on that one. That's amazing. So you're not – there is no NFL contribution kind of whatsoever. They don't stipend or you don't receive like any – I don't want to say assistance, but they don't sponsor. Like you don't.
No, some guys receive assistance from the team. From the team they go in under. They usually get assistance from the team. But no, the NFL has not. That's what surprised me. All the guys that aren't there are on call. The NFL has nothing to do with this. This is the NFL Hall of Fame committee that takes care of the Hall of Fame ceremony and all this. They take care of this. This is separate from the NFL.
Okay. At this point, you know, you talked about Dion had Snoop Dogg in his tent. I mean, what's the roof tent going to look like?
I plan on having some type of entertainment and having some type of music, whether it be a DJ or, you know, a little lot, you know, maybe a band, 80s band or a DJ. But I plan on having some type of music. And they do provide Jeremy the Pepsi products, and they provide alcohol till 1:30. I think when Michael Irvin went in the Hall of Fame, they stopped the bus shuttle service at 2:30, and Michael Irvin had it pushed back to like 3, you know, I mean, they stopped it at 1:30, 2 o'clock, and he pushed it back to like 2:30, 3 o'clock so he could keep the guys in there hanging out. So, you know, it's up to you how long you want it to go for, but they will help you provide the tent. Then you can make the tent out or lay it out the way you want to, and with chairs, couches, whatever you want. And if you want a bigger tent, you can ask for a bigger tent if you think you're going to have so many people. It matters how many people you have coming and how many people are coming and how elaborate you want it to be.
And Willie, I mean, I know at this point you haven't found a performer. I'm a guy on the side who likes to sing, and let me show you. Let me let you hear some of my work.
Say McNabb, everybody. Say McNabb, everybody. He is the guy. If the Eagles want to fly, everybody say McNabb.
What do you think? Can I get in the tent? Can I be the performer at the end of the
tent? You might be able to get in the tent. I'm not going to let you perform now.
Yeah. You sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure about that. But I would like for you to be there, but we'll let you leave your singing in Philly.
All right. And I'm going to hold you to that. Maybe Jeremy and myself, we could take the whole team down.
Jeremy still owes me a steak dinner.
Well, Jeremy, don't
worry,
your steak dinner.
I'll tell you right now. I will tell you, not only will I provide a steak for you, I'll provide steaks for the guests. If I'm in the Hall of Fame tent, trust me, it'll be a wedding. It may even be a bar mitzvah.
Well, I plan on you guys being there, and you will get applications and everything like that, so you can fill out the forms. But I do plan on you guys being there. We're going to have a big celebration, I'm looking forward to it in August. But I do need to get somebody to help me get all this together, because I know if it's up to me, I won't do it the right way. So I will get somebody to help me, whether the person will do some of this via email or getting all these applications out. And I will basically, what you do is you have different family members in different areas that can help you help you get your list together, in different, so you can make sure you get the right applications out to people. And if people call and contact that might want to go, I'll make sure that I forward it, but I will need some help. And they're going to fly me or whoever up there to Canton in February, so you can go over the new facilities they're building right now. And, they can help you, they have people that can help you do your speech. They have people that help you through the whole process. So the Hall of Fame committee really does a great job, and they have about 10 people that are working with them doing different things. And this is a nonprofit organization.
Wow! So it's going to be a big old time, and I'm wondering the entertainment. Who is going to be the entertainment in the roast tent? I mean, you're talking DJ.
I'm more of a Steely Dan. More of a Defense Mode. I'm more of a Bill Withers. Bobby Womack. I'm more than that. George. I'm more than George Washington Jr. So I'm a little more of the old school type of music.
Oh, okay.
I'm not into the modern day. It won't be no rapper. It won't be no rapper music in there.
And that's good. I mean, that's good. I mean, Bill Withers, A Little Lovely Day. That wouldn't be too bad. Him in your tent. I mean, so we'll see what happens. I mean, so it's definitely going to be an 80s type of band. Maybe Jodeci. They're a 90s band, but maybe Jodeci.
Well, I want them to be able to play a variety of music. So
okay.
A band that they can play of like some variety, and then go back to the 80s, and play some of that. I mean, so I would like to hear some of that. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a few older people in there, so they probably would like that more than some music that they don't even know what it is anymore.
We're talking to Lewis and Shiny into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Willie Rofe. And Willie, I want to switch topics, and I want to move to the NBA. And that was Willie Rofe from February 11th, 2012, a week after he was inducted into the Pro Football World, voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Great time talking to Willie, and you could hear the excitement in his voice. And again, that was a long time. I mean, you're talking, that was in February. We're in August right now, a few months back. So he had a lot of preparing to do and get himself right, get the situation right for a good old time. And that leads up all the way up to today, August 4th, 2012. Willie Rofe will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. A few hours from now, he will be inducted. His bust will be in Canton, Ohio. He will be immortalized. He will be in pro football heaven, if you will, and he will be there forever. And we talked to Willie Rofe last week, and as we talked to Willie Rofe last week, he was preparing for everything, preparing for his speech, taking care of all the odds and ends, listening. for him, a big time for him. And we're going to bring him in now. Let's bring him in now. 2012 Hall of Fame inductee, the one, the only, Willie Rofe. Willie, how are you, sir?
Good to be on with you again. It's been a while.
It has been a while. And you got a lot of big things going on right now, and I know you're preparing for that, and I know you're pretty excited for that. Willie, next week, next Saturday, it happens all the time that, you know, you found out back in February. Now we're here in August next week, and you're going into the Hall of Fame. What's going through your mind at this time?
I'm a little nervous. You know, I want to make sure I got my pad here. You know, I wanted to make sure I had my speech right, and, you know, they sent me some outlines, a guy from the Hall of Fame, a few little things, and, you know, I'm going to make sure I get up there, and I want to make sure I do a good job. I went to Men's Warehouse and went over today and got fitted up for a couple new suits, and, you know, been give me some ties. You know, I want to make sure I'm looking for the different functions, making sure I'm looking good up there, Jeremy,
right.
And that's what I've been trying to focus on, and making sure everybody's squared away. You know, at the last minute, people want to call you, and it's too late now. I mean, you got to go to the Hall of Fame website. You know, if anybody wants to come to the festivities, you know, they got to go to the Hall of Fame website, then they got to try to find them a hotel room in Akron or somewhere, you know, close, you know, Cleveland's not too far either, but, you know, it's been very fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing the bus, and I'm looking forward to having a good time with a lot of family and friends, and it's going to be a nice, long weekend.
And you sent me a picture with your jacket. At this point, are you all fitted and all sized up for that jacket, with that jacket? Everything good with that jacket?
Yeah, everything's good with the jacket, man. I was in Virginia, and I was on the road, and I was in Virginia, and I was leaving town to go to Bobby Mitchell's golf tournament up there 2 weekends ago at Lansdowne. So I had to take it to Virginia with me and get sized up for it, but it looks good. I got it sized up, and they had a FedEx slip with it, and I went ahead and they shipped it on back to what you call it. So you know, to the Hall of Fame. But when I tried it on after they got it altered, you know, that sat last Saturday, it looked pretty good.
And again, this is a happy and a great time for you. Looking at it now, you're going to have your father. He's going to be the guy that's going to present you. How much does that mean to you to have your father present you?
It means a lot. You know, my dad always came to the games and only missed one game in my pro career, home game, driving because he was going to see my brother play. And for him to be able to present me after all the stuff he's done and put me, you know, been there by me, you know, I'm very happy for that. And you know, he's gonna be so happy for him to be up on that stage and that podium with me, to be a part of this Hall of Fame ceremony. And he told me, my grandfather Arthur Rofe, who, you know, was pretty much a laborer, my daddy's daddy, you know, he would be so proud. And he got past the first grade and didn't get past much of the first grade. And my dad, and he was at a family reunion in Hot Springs last week, and he told everybody there that, you know, Doc would be so proud that, you know, we'll have, whenever somebody in the family wants to go to Canton, Ohio, they'll be able to see, you know, a Rofe in the museum or in the hall with all those outstanding football players. So I think it means a lot to a lot of people, you know, especially going through your family, that you always be, you know, enshrined in that museum for everybody to go see you.
Will you cry?
I'm not going to try to cry, but no. I won't say I'll cry. If I start to cry a little bit, I'll get my composure, but I'm not going to try to cry. So, Paul, I'm going to try not to.
And, you know, we go in there sometimes trying not to. I remember when I got married, I cried like a baby. I tried not to, but I just couldn't help it. So you know, your emotions might get the best of you. Let it out. Let it go.
But Paul was supposed to be strong man, but you're right. It might come out. But
yeah, let it go.
I don't want to cry like Michael Irvin did a couple years ago.
he did a lot of crying, actually. And you talked about it with the Hall of Fame and everything, and how Arif will be able to see you in the Hall of Fame at any point, at any time. And a while back, you had LaDainian Tomlinson, and he talked about what would he rather be? Would he rather be in the Hall of Fame, or would he rather win a Super Bowl? What would you rather do? Would you rather win a Super Bowl?
I mean, if
you
wanted to say,
I'd
rather have both, you know, but that is a very, very tough call. I mean, obviously now, looking at it, the fact that I haven't won a Super Bowl, I guess you would have to say I would lean more toward being a Hall of Fame because, I mean, both of them are, well, Hall of Fame is more of an individual accolade, but it took a lot of work with a lot of people to help you get to that point. But, you know, the Super Bowl is special, and it's a great thing. But, you know, after, you know, the Steelers, even though people remember them, if you go to Pittsburgh and stuff from the Steelers of the old 70s, you know, my favorite team growing up. But I still would say being in the Hall of Fame and having your bust in there, you know, is probably to be a part of that group and to be a part of the best guys to play the game, you know, it's still a great accomplishment. So, I would lean toward, you know, I wish I could have played the Super Bowl, just played in one. Not even playing, I have a ring. But I did get to play in some playoff games. I did get to play on some good football teams. So, you know, I'll take that. But if you want to say I got a consolation prize going to the Hall of Fame, I think that's a great consolation.
And that's one heck of a consolation prize. If you ask me, we're talking to 2012 Hall of Fame inductee Willie Rose as he prepares for his big day next Saturday in Canton, Ohio. It's going to be a big day for Willie Rofe. And Willie, looking at it now and looking at this whole situation, we saw Deion Sanders. He had a nice little situation. He had Snoop Dogg there performing under his tent. Who's going to be there for Willie Rofe? Who's going to be performing for you?
Well, you know, at first, you know, I'm more of an old school guy, so, you know, I wouldn't have gone with the Snoop Dogg type of deal. But at first I tried to get Confunction, and I couldn't get them. So I got Loose Ends coming, and, you know, when Loose Ends is done, I'll have a DJ going, DJ Quick from Cleveland. I think he did Orlando Pace, some parties for him and Eddie George, but I heard good things about him, so... I'm going a little more old school with Loose Ends, and they had some big hits in the 80s, Hanging on the String and Watching You and all that. So I'm looking forward to having a good time. And the Benson family, this New Orleans Saints organization, has paid for the party. And,
wow.
You know, very thankful for them paying, you know, over $100,000 just for the party.
Wow. Well, that's sounds like a very expensive wedding.
I'm getting married to the Hall of Fame.
There you go. You put the ring on it.
This is my wedding. I'm getting the ring, yeah. And I talked to Ricky Jackson at the golf tournament. He told me he got a Super Bowl ring. You know, but he made a great point. He said the Super Bowl ring is special, but he said everybody gets a Super Bowl ring. It's not just the team. He said the team goes out there and plays, but they give them all the staff members and the family and all them people get a ring. He said when you get in the Hall of Fame, you only get that one ring for the Hall of Fame members. So it's not like everybody's going to get one, the whole organization and the wives and the parents, the owners and all them. The Hall of Famer ring is just for the Hall of Famers. Nobody else gets them.
And I know in terms of a speech, how long will the speech be?
We have about 8 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
You're supposed to go 10 minutes. So it's not
all
too
right.
Long. You know, you go to 12. I think Deion went 18 last year, but you're supposed to go about 10 minutes.
So you envision going 10, the full 10? You envision going over that 10?
I I'm not sure. I got to work on it. I can't. You know, I went to Rite Aid and got a Meade Wide Rule Subject 170 sheet book right here to work on the speech.
Right.
So
right,
I got
right,
me a
right.
book right here. I got me an outline upstairs and some stuff. So I had to work on it. Then I had to practice saying it. You won't know how long it is because I won't be able to tell you because I got to work on it this weekend.
Okay. And
I waited, Paul, because I wanted it fresh in my mind. So I waited till right now so I can practice my speech and write it and have something written and organized and have it fresh on my memory when I get there.
Right. And we Michael Irvin, his speech, you almost felt like you see preachers sometimes out of Michael Irvin from time to time. Are we going to see Pastor Rofe up there? Reverend Rofe, or are you going to? Are we going to see that up there during your speech?
No, we're not going to see Pastor Rofe. We might see Bishop Rofe, but we're not going to see Pastor Rofe.
I mean, this is like, look, this has to be very exciting for you, obviously. An opportunity to be immortalized. You are going to be immortalized. People are going to see your bus and everything. What do you think the bus is going to look like? Have you saw the bus yet, or that will be revealed to you on Saturday, next Saturday, I should say?
No, you know the good thing about it now with the ceremony with these Hall of Famers, they used to just make the bus until like the 80s or early 90s, and then what they did, they hired a guy out of Utah. And what they do is they fly you in, put you up in a hotel,
okay,
and you go over to his studio, and he sits there. He has pictures all put up on the board, and I guess they just started this like the last 5, 6, 7 years, the 10 years. It's been recent. He has pictures of you on the board, and now they let you pick out how you want your facial expression. They let you pick out if you want a goatee or not, if you want a beard, you know, like Jerry Rice chose to be bald headed, but he had hair when he was younger, you know, or you can go with no goatee or more clean cut. Some guy, Dion, wanted to show his teeth on his bus. So you get to kind of go out there and give him an outline of what you want your bus to look like while you're there. So you go in there, you sit there all day, you talk about what you want, and you go, you know, how you want your bus, how you want your hair, and he pretty much gets a good idea of what you want while you're in the studio doing it, and then he goes from there. So basically I saw, you know, basically how it was going to look, but I haven't seen the finished product.
Okay, so did you choose a goatee? Did you choose a mustache?
I chose a goatee because I had a goatee most of my career.
Okay. And did you get to pick the pictures or that was?
Well, no, he had the pictures already there from over your playing days.
Okay.
So he'll have
okay.
like, you know, different shots of you over your playing days, and you look at the shots, and then you sit there and right there while he's with you, you know, it's made out of clay. So they make
right.
it out of clay, then they put it in the mold and make it out of bronze.
Okay. Wow.
But what happens is, while he's there, while you're sitting there with him, he's picking at the clay. You know, he's picking at the side of the face and doing your eyes. You know, he was having a little tough time getting one of my eyes right. So he's doing your eyes, doing your eyebrows, putting clay on, taking it off where he's making the goatee and making your hair. So he's sitting there while you're there. Basically, you know, using his clay, making it, you know, looking at you, studying it. It's very fascinating. It, you know, it's a piece of art.
Definitely. We're talking to 2012 Hall of Fame inductee Willie Rofe. Next Saturday, Willie Rofe will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He will be immortalized. He will have the jacket. Where will you put the jacket once you get it? Where's the jacket going to be? Where are you going to put it at? Is it going to be in a safe place? Is it something you're going to pull out from time to time?
Yeah,
how are you
going
to handle your jacket?
It'll be in the closet.
Okay.
The jacket will be in the closet. If people want to see it or if I decide to pull it out and just put it on or wear it around for a day, I'll wear it around or for different occasions. Or maybe I want to put on the suit and wear the gold jacket with some black slacks somewhere
right.
to an event.
Right.
So the gold jacket will be hanging up in the closet with a couple of new suits I got.
Wow. All right. And those, I would think some people would just keep it like locked up and never wear it again.
Yeah, and a lot of guys are selling. They switch from the old jacket to a new jacket, so some guys are selling them. And my jacket will also have my number, and my number is 273. Isn't that crazy, Paul? It's only 273, 74 guys,
wow,
or whatever around that number that can say that they have made it to Canton, and I think it's like 150 something to the living.
Wow. So, I mean, you're with the elite. You're with the select few, and not too many people in life can say that they are the best who's ever done it in their particular profession. And you are one who can say that. And, Willie, man, we've had you on the show for the past 2 years. It's been a pleasure having you. We wish you nothing but the best of luck with this Hall of Fame thing, man. I mean, you earned it. You had a great career. You had a really great career. You earned it. Get your jacket. Do the speech up, get your ring, and celebrate. Have a good time.
And you know what to make this year even sweeter for you. I know, but right now, I got in the hall. LeBron finally got his ring. It would be great to see the Philadelphia Eagles make it to New Orleans.
That would be beautiful. That would just top this year off.
If the Philadelphia Eagles can make it to New Orleans, that would be great.
I would love to take out that LeBron, and maybe if the Sixers would have won the NBA Finals. And
you know I wanted the Heat to win, so you know me, him getting the ring and me going in the same year is icing on the cake. But if the Eagles can make it to New Orleans, well, that'd be bad, though, because if the Eagles made it, that means that the Saints would make it. But,
well, they're not going to make it. That coaching situation's a mess there. They're not going to make it. They can't overcome that.
You don't think Drew Brees can run that offense himself?
I don't think they can overcome that. I don't think he can.
You don't think Drew Brees, you don't think Spagnuolo can take over as a coach? I mean, Spagnuolo was a coach in St. Louis.
I just think there's too many distractions, and I think the distractions are going to get the best of this ball club. It's just too many distractions. You don't know what's going to happen with Vilma. That's in court right now. Drew Brees' situation, I know that's done. He got his contract, but it's just a lot of distractions there. And I think they'll make the playoffs, but I don't think they can get to the Super Bowl.
I think they'll make the playoffs, yes. I think Philly has a good chance to be very good this year. Philly should have made the playoffs last year.
Definitely.
You know, if they hadn't had some hiccups in the road. But I think they will be focused this year. DeSean Jackson will be focused this year. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think it's going to be a good year. You know, and I'm looking forward to the season, and like it's been a lot of fun doing the show, but we've been talking 2 years, and it was so interesting to go to the Bobby Mitchell Golf Tournament, and Sam Jones, and Metal Log Lemons there, and Art Shell, and, John Riggins, and, you know, some a lot of old school. I saw Calvin Hill, the Grant Hill's daddy in the lobby,
okay.
And just being there, soaking up the knowledge from those Hall of Famers and those old school guys, and listening to them talk about some of the things in the day, and then us going in, me being in the room with those guys, and then even for that banquet, and you know, my video's in the video with Munoz and with all these old school guys, and then mine's
right,
playing with it. So you know, that's exciting to know that I've made it to the point where, you know, my video will be playing alongside the legends of the game.
So, Willie, next weekend we will all be watching. Looking forward to seeing your speech. I hope you bring the pain.
No, you're looking forward to see if I'm going to break down or not, Paul. And I'm going to try not to let you have that. So when I get on the show again, we won't be able to talk about I was breaking down.
I think you will break down, but we'll see. I mean, I don't see how you could not. I mean, this is something that is very, very special. Not too many people can say they are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Not too many people can say it. So
in any Hall of Fame.
Exactly. And right, you're right. Any Hall of Fame, for that matter. So I expect you to break down. Hopefully, you know, you can get your composure, get right back up again, and pick off where you left at, and give a great speech and touch on some great points, and hopefully it will be memorable.
I think it will be. I think it's a great class. It's a blue-collar class with Curtis and two offensive, two defensive linemen. Nobody won a Super Bowl in this class. The only person that played in the Super Bowl was the Monte Dawson, and you have old school Jack Butler going in the class. And for me, being able to come behind, you know, and be able to talk a little bit about Pine Bluff High and Don Hutson, who's one of the top 10 all-time football players who came from my high school, Torrey Hunter, Monte Coleman, to name a few guys that played at my high school, you know, shows that we have a, you know, we've had a rich tradition of football players as well as Torrey playing baseball.
And real quickly now, in terms of your speech, I know we had talked about it before. We talked about guys who've had issues with money, and I know at one point you wanted to touch on that. You think you'll touch on that during this?
I don't know if that's the right form for that.
Right.
I might try to stay away from that and just talk about football and football-related stuff. You know, if I did, it would just be a few words about guys just making sure they have good investors. But I don't know if I really touch on that. I think I'll stick to the football stuff. And, you know, the guys have plenty of people coming to the teams and telling these guys what they need to do. And,
right.
You know, you hear stories about some guys spending $1 million in a weekend or something like that, you know. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's just tough times. I mean, just talking to my dad earlier, you got to hold on to what you got and,
Definitely. You know,
make it last. So, you know, I hope these guys can appreciate what they got. And some of them got a chance to make a whole lot of money. And after they pay their taxes, all they got to do is put it away, man, and save it and make sure they don't overextend themselves with buying too much stuff and spending too much money. Not a
well,
kid's situation.
Definitely,
the kid,
hopefully people will learn their lessons. Hopefully. I doubt it.
And the kid's situation is the kid's situation. Outside of that, we ain't talking about marriage and kids and all that, but you know, it's a lot going in family. I mean, these guys are in a tough, you know, part's not easy. You know, you got your family,
no,
you got your kids, you got, you know, people pulling at you. You got a lot of challenges, but you got to, you know, and you got to stay focused on doing your job and not get caught up in the heat of all of it. So, you know, sometimes it's not the easiest situation, but like you said, hopefully, you know, these kids, they can learn, and a majority of us can do better in the future with what we attain while playing professional sports.
Definitely. And, Willie, again, pleasure having you on, man. Wish you nothing but the best of luck. Do that speech right. Make sure it's good. Make sure it's crisp. Make sure it's sound. Make sure it's nice. And make sure you bring the paint and do your thing.
All right, Paul.
Take care.
Thank you for having me.
All right. The great Willie Rofe. And there you have it. Three interviews we had with Willie Rofe. One from February 4th, one from February 11th, and one from July the 26th. As Willie Rofe goes into the Hall of Fame today in Canton, Ohio. And it was great reliving some of those moments of when Willie was on the show and talking about some of the great things and the great memories over the past year. And the pro process, I mean, it was, like I said earlier in the show, we've been talking to Willie throughout this whole process. And again, it's a difficult process, it's a long process, but at the end of the day, it's a very rewarding process, especially when you get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and that's about to happen to Willie Rofe on here today, August 4th, 2012. You can listen to this show and other great shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, where you can listen to this show and other great shows. Follow the show on Twitter, @GoForAgain, and again, Willie Rofe goes into the Hall of Fame. This was the best of Willie Rofe, and this show was dedicated to Willie Rofe and his greatness throughout his career, his brilliance throughout his career. And we'll see tonight whether or not Willie Rofe will actually cry. Again, men do cry, and then it's a part of life, and it's, things happen. Hopefully Willie Rofe, if he does cry, will pick himself back up again, jump right back on the saddle, and make it happen. But again, you can listen to this show and other great shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. For everybody here, go for it. We hope you have a great week. We'll see you back here again next weekend. See you later. Take care. Bye.